Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wake up.
You wanted to. And that is something in the chicken, chicken kebab. Come on. I don't think you trust.
Right.
In my
what?
Self-righteous suicide. I cry.
Who's
that? You don't need to go full volume here. When angels deserve to die.
Right.
I don't know the chords.
Who's this?
Wake up. You were eating something, then we had bacon. And then I walk you to the bus stop.
Stop faking.
Faking. You now bacon. You're a vegan.
Yeah.
You wanted to. Back in the 90s, you wanted to. It's the early 2000s American Pie. You wanted to. And the song's probably in that film. You wanted to. I don't think you tried.
They're Armenian.
Are they?
Yep.
Wow.
It's an exciting song.
Yeah.
Who's it by?
It's by System of a Down.
Oh, of the Down.
System of Dread.
From Armenia.
System, yeah. No, I remember them.
Or is they called in Ireland? System of a Down.
Down.
That's Northern Ireland, isn't it?
Northern Ireland.
Hello,
and welcome to the Excitable Boy podcast.
All right.
For the 1st of February. We're going to try not to talk over each other because there's three of us.
Yes.
We have a guest.
We have a conch. Week. We have a conch.
We have an actual...
And a guest.
An actual comedian here. Alfie Brown, back.
Hello.
Alfie, quick, say something funny.
I'm quite a regular... I've been on here quite a few times.
Two or three?
Mm-hmm.
Three or four?
Yeah, there have been a couple that have just been you and I.
We did one together that deleted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've actually been on quite a few podcasts where they've told me that.
Have you really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
That it actually happened. It got
Yeah. I was on the Liverpool Football Club podcast called The Anfield Rap, which I completely kind of fanboy over. And they rang me up the next day and went, yeah, Sarge, it's wasn't recording, so it's been lost. But then they rang me up again to record a special one-off just about me being a comedian.
Mm.
And that didn't go up either.
Yours only got deleted because you weren't funny when you came on here. That's why it got deleted.
Really?
Yeah. It didn't get deleted because of computer malfunction.
Right.
But was it the computer that decided that I wasn't funny, or did
you? Yeah, a little weird box popped up on the
app. You've got a little bot.
Bing! Are you sure you want to post this podcast?
Yeah. Well, the paperclip just gave me the finger.
Do you value your listeners?
Mm.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. What an insane week. The world is in meltdown, it seems.
Mm.
Muslim, you can't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from home.
Yeah, back. Oh, no, actually, that's true. You can go back where you fucking came from.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, in quotes, what they would think. That's not representative of the views of the Excitable Boy podcast ensemble.
No,
it's good. Disclaimer is important.
Yeah.
Trump has, and then everyone's out marching. We went to the march yesterday.
You went to the march?
Well, you went to the march.
I went to the march. You didn't go to the march, but you would have done.
Why didn't you go to the march?
We went to a gig, and I thought we were going to the march afterwards.
Right, just fitting the march in. Just fitting the march
in. Yeah, the march had to work around.
Yeah. You know.
The gig finished, I went, right, let's go to the march. And everyone just looks at me and went, Josh, we've already been.
Yeah, history happened without you.
Yeah.
Because you just wanted to see a gig.
My favourite sign there was a girl who had a big sign that said, Visual Artists Against Trump.
Right.
And it wasn't a very good sign.
No. No. No, indeed.
He fired his general attorney this morning, didn't he?
No, he fired Obama's...
appointee. She stayed on at the job. Like, if you work in McDonald's and they get a new manager, which is how he's running it, by the way. He's literally running it, like, come in like a businessman, bang, fire 30% of the workplace, new logo, get out, you know?
Yeah.
This woman didn't work for Obama, she worked for the government, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he came in and just went, yeah, I want to get all the Muslims out for 90 days, Melania.
Mm-hmm.
And she went, no, I don't think you can do that. And he literally went, get out.
Yeah.
That's actually what's happened, isn't it?
I mean, you pre-seed it, but yeah.
What does pre-seed mean?
It made shorter for the purpose, because you couldn't, I mean, we don't know the whole exchange.
Yeah,
and I don't,
it was probably longer.
But it's quite a good Trump impression you've got.
Thank you. My Donald Trump impression is a little bit like my Woody Allen impression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are similar.
Woody's a little more nasal, and talks a little faster. Enjoyed. I was home for the weekend from college.
It's always good to see black people doing white voices.
Yeah.
In the same way that it's very impressive when I do Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
Can you do it?
Can you do it now?
No, I'm working on it. But if you get me back in a couple of months, I'll do a great Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
My Richard Pryor's okay.
Yeah.
But I think it's because he's got lighter skin.
But everyone can do a Richard Pryor, can't they? Like, Eddie Murphy's Richard Pryor is better than Richard Pryor's Richard Pryor.
Yeah. In the same way that Janet Jackson looked more like Michael Jackson than he did.
Yeah, it feels like the world is in meltdown.
Yeah.
It's made me go, you know, Blair wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
Blair wasn't that bad.
Quite miss Bush.
Well, yeah. That's why I don't really like this whole take that it would be, if you get rid of Trump, then you've got Pence, which is just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah.
Because it isn't anywhere near as worse. Because what you've got in
Pence
is...
Oh, you think Pence is better than Trump?
I mean, immeasurably. Because whilst... I would be happy to sacrifice some women's rights. They're not mine to sacrifice.
Right, yeah.
But if that means that we don't descend into nuclear winter.
Yeah.
And I think, like, Trump doesn't have the temperament to ensure that we don't go to nuclear war.
What does that have to do with women's rights? Oh, because if Pence...
Oh, because Pence gets it. But they're the same thing. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He's not going to be any worse. He's obviously... He has abhorrent views on things like abortion, Christianity,
so what you're saying is what's worse, nuclear war or
somebody who has really bad views on gay rights, for 4 years.
What's the worst thing he's done this week? That's a weird question to say. Even that's a weird sentence, isn't it?
What?
What's the worst thing he's done this week?
Well, he's done so many things that it's kind of like...
What was going on with him holding Theresa May's hand?
He had one of those electric buzzers in it, and he was trying to prank her.
Right.
But why did he grab it? Was it like a power play? Was he aiming for her pussy?
Which one of them was meant to be afraid of the stairs?
The stairs?
What?
Yeah, that's why they were holding hands, is because they were afraid of going down the stairs together. Or one of them's afraid of the stairs, so said, can I hold your hand?
Well, probably a woman in high heels, I would imagine, would be more
high heels.
Yeah,
I think it's him who's afraid of the stairs, though. Have you noticed how much more tired he looks?
Oh, yeah.
Already.
Really?
He already looks fucking goosed. He looks so great.
But he's a massive blagger. He gets up in the morning, goes, yeah, sir, you got a meeting. He's like walking down the corridor going,
are you fucking serious?
What's going on? What's that? Okay, just don't show weakness. Don't show weakness. Do you want to sign this? Yeah, sign that. He's just like signing things at the moment.
That's the thing. You know, Gordon Brown, there was a famous story of him when he was in office, when he was in charge of the country. And one of his aides said, oh, by the way, you've got to go and meet the Indonesian Prime Minister today.
Yeah.
And he went, what? Why do I have to go? Why? Why do I have to go and meet the Indonesian Prime Minister? Because you're the Prime Minister of Great Britain. That's your job. Mm. It's what you do. It's like all sorts of... But he was much more happy kind of engrossed in books, trying to figure out a way to kind of beat the financial crash. Which, to his credit, he did quite well.
Yeah.
But Trump's just... And Melania must be absolutely spewing.
Yeah.
Because she's got a hard job now.
But you do one of two things as First Lady. You kind of do a ceremonial ribbon-cutting job. Or you do a kind of I'm going to... actually use the role to do something.
Yeah, I think quite a lot of them go on kind of altruistic escapades and try and sort of start initiatives and get things moving in Congress and whatnot.
Yeah.
Is she not just in a room... I know this might... I got in trouble because I posted a tweet of her. I faked a tweet that was like from her Twitter account, and I posted an image of it and it said, me so happy be first number one lady American, or something like that, right? And I got in trouble. Some woman was like, you should not like her because she's, you know, part of the bigotry, and you shouldn't take the piss out of the fact that she's speaking a second language, like, and she's doing an okay job at it.
Mm.
And I thought about it, and I felt bad for a little bit. Mm. And then I just realised, I was like, well, hang on a minute, isn't that all ties in? Her husband's anti-immigration. He's married to an immigrant.
Mm.
It all ties in.
Mm.
I just think that maybe Melania is in a room at the minute actually learning English. That's why no one's seen her. There's like a black, like an Adam Sandler film. There's someone with a blackboard. Hippo. She's just having to learn how to talk properly so that she can go out and do the ribbon cutting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
She's quite attractive.
Mm. Or maybe she's out just shopping for the bunker.
Yeah, possibly.
lentils.
Anyway, so, I mean, we could go on about, Trump and whatever, but really, it's insane. Mm. I feel like when I would read history books at school, and you'd see like how the First World War started, and it would be in bullet points, and it would go, well, Franz Ferdinand was assassinated, which then this happened, and it led to this, and this, and this. I feel like I'm watching all of that unfold in front of me now.
Right.
I'm like, well, that will then go to that, which will lead to those people being angry, which will lead to that, and then just, fine, nuclear war.
You feel impotent in the face of it.
What do you mean, useless?
Yeah. Is that why you're going to gigs? Not going on the mud.
Yeah, that's why we've been on tour. Anyway, so moving on. You're a dad.
Yeah, twice.
Two kids. How are they? You're a young dad. You're a hip, cool, funny young dad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I am.
How, you know?
One of them's 6 months old. Well, 7 months old now. I've gotten into the habit. You start saying a month, and then you realise it's been longer than a month you've been saying that they're at that old for.
Mm.
So you've got to update it. So I'm estimating at about 7 months now.
Mm-hmm.
2 years is the other one. And he's great, actually. The two-year-old's really starting to make sentences and whatnot. When he says he can't say socks, he says cock. So when he says his cock is too tight or his cock hurts,
yeah,
that's funny. That's good. Yeah. So you're getting your money's worth a bit there.
Mm-hmm.
She's got such a big bum as well. My daughter, seven-month-old, she's got really long crack.
Really long bum crack.
Yeah. It like starts halfway up her spine. It's amazing.
Wow.
And Donnie's a little bit too... like, Donnie's at that weird age where you can sort of have a chat with him, but you've still got to change his nappy and clear shit out of his bum. So you can sort of chat to him while you're doing that.
You're taking him to a dinner party. He's going to shit himself.
That's my thing with breastfeeding, is that as soon as you start being able to ask for it eloquently, you shouldn't be... And that might just be me.
Mm.
No, my friend's kid is, I think... My friend's sister's kid is, I think, nearly four and still... What, breastfeeding?
Yeah, to be fair, that's probably fine.
He says it's really weird when he can go around his sister's house and have like an engaged conversation with a child. How was your day at school? Oh, I did this, 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 and this. Oh, that's really fun. And then he puts the telly on and the kid is just standing at the other end of the room making eye contact with him while sucking on his sister's boobie.
Mm.
He's like, that's a bit weird. That's a bit too far.
Yeah.
When did they stop breastfeeding?
Well, that's your choice.
What's the average?
About one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
For certain tribes around the world, five.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know some people who were like 4 or 5 years old.
How much of your new show has baby stuff in it?
None of it. There's one bit about, well, there's a few jokes about how is it, people ask me how is it being a dad, as if, first of all, when people ask you how is it being a dad, nobody really cares. They don't want you to actually go into the horror. Yeah. They want you to go, oh, it's fine.
It's great.
Because you bumped into them at a train station.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a kind of bit about that, but the show isn't really about that.
Do you remember what I said when you found out you were having your first baby?
See you in 7 years.
That was bad.
It was actually see you in 18 years. You got actually literally fucked off with me.
I was really upset, yeah. and that's a terrible... thing that I have to live with, that is what was in my soul.
Yeah.
When you told me that you were having...
She's like, because everybody who I told reacted... Everybody's natural reaction is to react as if it's happening to them. Mm. So, like, to go, oh, this is how I would react if I got somebody pregnant. And, like, my friend Lorenzo, I said, listen, can you meet up with me at a pub tonight? Because I really need to tell you something. And he went, oh, my God, what is it? And it turned up at the pub, and I went, I don't want to tell you over the phone, just come and tell me. What is it? Have you got somebody pregnant? Do you have cancer? And I went, yeah, I got somebody pregnant. And he went, oh my God, I wish it was cancer.
You know, yeah, because there's a definite end point. Yeah. It's coming up.
There's no way the cancer can outlast you.
No, exactly, yeah.
Am I the godfather of the younger, of Margaret, of the younger, I don't want to, you know, can I say her name? Do you say her name in public? Some comedians don't want to say their kids' names.
Well, I don't know. What are you going to do?
I don't know. What are you going to do?
Well, I don't know. Her name's Margot. I feel weird.
Am I her godfather?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I need to.
What
happened with that?
Sure. Well, yeah, I need to confirm that with Jesse.
Right.
I'd like that to be confirmed by the end of the show, so I can be your best man and the godfather of your kids.
Is it retractable, the godfather? I mean, the best man is.
Best man's retractable. Absolutely. We still have time to drift apart before you get married.
Yeah. But I think you could take the godfather off the table, couldn't you?
I can't have that confirmed to you by the end of the show. But why not I let you know before next week's show?
Okay, that's great.
So make sure you tune in next week to find out whether God made godfather or not.
That's really good. Not only are you a dad, you're also now a vegan.
That's true, yeah.
I don't know, our friendship is like, it's just becoming less enjoyable the further into
for you.
For vegan, yeah, we can't do
you like my fun. Kids.
So...
Oh, I love your kids.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean that's less fun. Our friendship's even better now you've got kids, because we don't have to make conversation the whole time.
Yeah, you can just do that stupid high five thing you do with
Donnie. He loves that high five.
He does love that high five.
I do this high five with his son where...
What do you mean, just a...
I do a high five and then I pretend that his high five was so
strong,
powerful that it blew me over.
All right, do you fall over?
I make an exploding noise.
You commit.
He really loves it.
You commit to the fall.
Yeah, I reckon he'll only enjoy it for another maybe 6 months.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, now you've stopped eating meat.
Yeah, and dairy products and eggs.
Yeah. It was interesting. I went around your house the other day and there was no food. It was almost like a halfway house a little bit. There wasn't much going on in there.
Oh, were you talking about before I had any furniture so it looked like somebody who's a recovered crack addict but still... likes the aesthetic too much to completely give it up.
But yeah, you stopped eating meat.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I was eating meat morning.
Sorry, I sounded really angry. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you do. You'd care. I mean, because I was eating meat morning, noon, and night, and I've got a history of bowel cancer in my family. So in order to kind of prolong the my life, my human life, in the same way that you like cycling. Mm. On those old lady bicycles with the back, I like not eating meat, and I don't feel tired after I eat anymore. My dump game has risen remarkably.
Oh, you poo a lot more.
Oh no! It'll cure your IBS if you stop eating meat.
Well, I don't eat beef anymore.
Yeah, but if you do, stop
eating, I already feel like that's enough. Like I watched that DiCaprio documentary, and he was like, if everyone in the world stopped eating red meat. Then all the greenhouse gas emissions would go down by like something ridiculous, like
80%.
And I watched that and I went, I'm going to stop eating beef. And then I realised that I don't eat beef. And I was like, I am amazing.
Yeah.
Mm.
I am an amazing person for already doing that.
Yeah, there are different... I find it more easily permissible to eat meat than I do to drink milk. Because of the... I find what's worst is the element of suffering.
Yeah.
Like, I would sooner die than be tortured.
Yeah.
And then die a while afterwards. So, yeah, I don't think I'd eat eggs or drink milk ever again. But meat, I don't know, like how... It's weird, do cows have less of a right to life because they can't kind of conceptualise their own sort of existence? And by that token, is it more acceptable to eat Joey Essex than it is Stephen Fry?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you answering that
question? It's a yes from me.
Okay, great.
I'd love to eat Joey.
I watched Rain Man this week.
Right?
Do you know that film?
No.
Babbitt. Yeah, Babbitt.
Of course.
Babbitt. Who's on first?
It's culturally very significant. Yeah.
Right. Have you watched it recently?
No. Why?
Because it's like heralded as like, oh, it's a great film.
Tom Cruise's character is an absolute dickhead.
Like, he's an asshole. Firstly, Tom Cruise is an asshole in that film.
Yeah.
Right. Secondly, his girlfriend gets off with Dustin Hoffman in that film.
I don't remember that.
Do you not remember that? So,
well, they kiss.
Yeah, she gets off with him in a hotel suite. They're slow dancing, and she's like, "Oh, what's his name? Ray.
Ray.
And she goes, Ray, have you ever been kissed? And he's like, he doesn't know.
Oh yeah. And she
gets off with him. And then, so she cheats on her boyfriend, who's a dick.
Right.
With his brother, who's autistic.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's, and then they go away at the end, and Dustin Hoffman doesn't know.
But also, like, Tom Cruise's character isn't really redeeming enough in it to be... Like, there's no kind of, like, character redemption at the end that makes you go, oh, that's a nice guy.
No, Rain Man is a film about kidnapping a disabled man.
Yeah.
For money.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, it's always on the list of, like, the top 50 greatest movies of all time.
Hans Zimmer's first ever film.
Is that his first major, score?
His breakthrough film.
Wow.
So
before he just started going... In every movie.
Yeah.
Inception.
Yeah.
So yeah, Rain Man. Yeah. I like it.
No. Sequel?
Rain Man 2.
Yeah.
Babbitt's back and he's pissed.
Yeah. Well, and that with the girlfriend goes up to him that way, you ever finger fucked anyone to death? And then he finger fucks her to death. And that's the end of the film.
I just was surprised. I was surprised that that movie is as crap as it is.
Well, it's part of that tradition of autistic savant kind of films. Everyone who's autistic in film has to be has to be a savant. He can't be someone who just fucks a beanbag while looking you in the face, which has happened to me.
Well, because you work with autistic kids.
Yeah, I have worked, yeah.
Yeah, and he kidnaps his...
Before you got fired for pretending to be a beanbag.
Yeah, exactly.
He kidnaps his autistic brother for money, right? And then the girlfriend gets off with his brother. And then he realizes that he can actually, while he's holding his brother ransom for money, that he can use his brother's brain to make more money.
Mm.
Yeah.
But isn't he changed?
And then they go, oh no, you can't have him back. No, we're taking him away. And then he goes away. He doesn't even get the brother at the end of the film.
All right.
And he's like, bye, on the train. And Dustin Hoffman doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, of course.
Because he just wants to get home for a thingy on, and which is on in 10 minutes, on in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the movie ends.
Yeah, it's like a complete oversimplification of a kind of... Like, in the same way in We're Both Bipolar and Fit. What's that film called?
Silver Linings.
Yeah. Silver Linings Playbook.
I like your title.
Yeah, thank you.
I would watch that film.
It's just completely... They both have exactly the same kind of bipolar. It manifests itself in exactly the same way. It's like somebody's got a little checkbook of all the different things. She's like unfeasibly hot, and so is he, and the whole thing is just a box ticking fucking nightmare of horse shit. And then they kind of learn to live with each other's tumultuous behavioural patterns. But
even that film has a big Hollywood ending, doesn't it? It has like a dance, they go to a dance together, and it's like a dance contest.
Oh yeah, and then Billy Crystal says he loves her.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, Billy Crystal's not in Silver Linings.
Yeah, but then they go.
It's a reference to
it. It's the same. It's the same movie, isn't it?
Oh,
it's
is it?
Same ending to When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, really? I love that you get warm when it's 70 degrees outside. I love that I can smell you on my clothes at the end of the day. That bit.
Yeah.
Because when you meet the woman you want to spend the rest of your life with, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
Hmm. That's in the Joe Pesci remake, isn't it?
That was a bit Bernie Sanders. The rest of your life, you realize. but that's what Hollywood likes, as we are learning from Hollywood Oscar season at the minute. They like they like ticking all the boxes. They like the one where it's about the disability. They like a Hollywood film about Hollywood, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
you know, anything about a black woman or a black man overcoming something ridiculous. They go for it. They love it. They eat it up.
How do you feel about the awards speeches that are happening at the moment?
I thought that the Stranger Things speech the other day was one of the most not because of Winona Ryder's face.
Winona Ryder was incredible.
For anyone who didn't see it, Stranger Things won.
Who's not seen it?
No.
Stranger Things won best something at something at the SAG Awards, Screen Actors Guild.
That's right.
Sure.
Right. And the only thing that made sense in that speech was Winona Ryder's face. Because she was the only person that was like, this man is talking about nothing right now. He's trying to liken our little sci-fi thing to politics while talking about characters in the sci-fi thing and about how they are like the government. But also he's standing outside the thing and saying it's really nice to make something that people love in this difficult time.
Mm.
It was insane.
It's like when I got hammered and tried to speak to your friend about Canada for 45 minutes.
Alfie got drunk the other night.
What happened? What about Canada?
There was this really sweet, nice girl from Canada who was trying to say that Canada was great, and I was just going, "No, it's just a fucking singer, it's Trudeau."
I had to stop. I had to stop the conversation I was in to listen to him talking about Canada.
You bad mouth.
Like, there's a clip on YouTube of Tim Westwood talking to Jay-Z. And it's one of the finest 10 minutes of TV of two men talking for 10 minutes without saying anything.
Yeah.
And I was doing that, but with saying Canada every now and again.
Do you know anything about Canada? Apart from Trudeau being the Prime Minister.
I mean, I think actually I met somebody who was who annoyed me based on, like, they're going, "Hey, we're the only person with a kind of progressive politician in power." You know, it's amazing how much the English people hate Corbyn. Mm. And I was taking out my disagreement with him on her whilst drunk. But yeah, that can be likened to the Stranger Things thing. Yeah. I haven't seen that. I've just seen a remake of it with a bit of pizza flying around and Winona Ryder's eyes following the bit of pizza.
you were pretty drunk, but thank you for coming to my birthday.
Yeah, of course.
He says as he glances over with a cold stare at Tim, his best friend and co-host.
I wasn't there, no.
You didn't come to my birthday.
No. I had to do a thing I didn't want to do, but I committed to it before your birthday came up. Because you didn't want to celebrate your birthday. You didn't want me to come to your birthday. You didn't want to have a birthday.
I wasn't having a thing, and then I had a thing, and we went to Laser Quest, and you didn't come.
Right.
Who won Laser Quest?
I got 58,000 points, and the high was 69.
Who won?
Lewis. Lewis from the Kenneths.
The bassist.
Yeah, he won, yeah. There was about 12 of us. It was a bit weird.
The Kenneths?
Mm. It's my band.
Oh.
It was, there was about eight of us, but then there was four people from another group.
I never want to go to Laser Quest.
So before we started, I was like, okay, here's what we do. I'm a captain because it's my birthday. I basically regressed to 8 years old.
I'm the captain.
I'm team captain because it's my birthday.
What does that mean?
And then I pick, who do I like the most here? Okay, you're a captain too. And then we pick the teams. I'm red captain.
Who was the other captain?
Lewis. And you're the other team captain. He ended up on my team. But then just four strangers walked in. And then it was like, now we can't just say we're the team captains now. And then it was just a bit weird when you're running around in the pitch black and you're actually shooting someone you don't know. Even though it's lasers, you're a bit like, this feels wrong. This doesn't feel right.
Right.
You know? Because then there was like...
Yeah.
So like when one of my friends comes up to me and was shooting me, and then while my thing was like, you know, shot, and you have that 5 second thing where they can just continually shoot you.
Yeah.
When that's someone you've known for 7 years, you're all right with it. Yeah. But when it's just a complete stranger just standing in front of you,
shooting a laser
into your chest.
A personal space invasion aspect to it, isn't there?
It's also just like, stop being a dick, just run away. Run away.
Right.
You know?
And I will run away with you. And
our brother's in the band.
Yeah, it's the cause.
Must have been weird for the cause.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So what's the deal with this band? Imagine that label meeting. When they look at the press shot in 1990, whenever it was. And go, we've got these three babes from Ireland, and they're all twin sisters.
And the brother.
What?
The brother.
The what?
He's outside, he wants to come in.
I thought the photographer walked into the shop.
No, he's getting insecure. He's outside, he wants to come on tour too. He can play a bit of drums. Can he come?
I like the assumption. The assumption was always that he must be the one writing the songs. Yeah. It's so sexy.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So, well, obviously he's the brains behind them, and they're just the singers.
The really hot ones.
The musicians. Yeah.
He's one of the worst exponents of the goatee
throughout history. Oh, did the worst guitarist have a goatee?
Jim Corr?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim, Andrea, Sharon, and Sheath.
Sinead, probably.
Yeah, Sinead. Sinead O'Corr, no.
Mm.
Do you want to hear a little interesting fact about the Corrs?
Do I? Go on.
So, when the Corrs signed their record deal, I think they signed to Parlophone.
Mm-hmm.
This was like in the heyday of 90s record label pomp.
Of getting paid.
Where there was... when they audited Parlophone, when Parlophone got bought by, I think it was Citigroup or something like that, about 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
they audited Parlophone. And they were like, what is this £12.2 million on flowers and chocolates every year? And it took the CEO to be like, that means cocaine. That's how much money they had, right? And when the cause signed, when Parlophone signed the cause, and it was like there was this movement happening in Dublin or in somewhere, wherever they were in Ireland, the Craggle Rock, I don't know, wherever they were, they're on a beach somewhere with one of those weird pancake drums, you know, where you hit it with your thumbs.
Yeah.
A piccolo.
A tambour.
You know.
Yeah.
Jeffrey.
All wearing lederhosen. Jeffrey, whatever they were. And there was this movement of Irish, traditional Irish folk that's influenced by pop music. It was like this crossover. There was this scene, as always happens. There's like 10 of the bands doing what the cause did. So Parlophone signed all of them and shelved the other 9. So they gave all of them a record deal. Mm. So all these little offshoots of Parlophone, like all these indie labels that they owned.
Yeah.
Parlophone were like, hey, we really like what you're doing. Oh, thanks very much. He goes, have a record deal. Oh. And they go, hey, we really like what you're doing.
That's how it happened.
And then there was just someone in an office going, yeah, get them all. And we'll put them, and we'll hold them back so they can't put any albums out so there's no competition for the cause. And it worked. And now the cause had to live with that.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
What's in your little brain box?
Should we do the letters? Every week you can write into the show any problems that you might be having. ebpexcitableboypodcast.co.uk. This week we have special guest Alfie Brown joining us prior to his sold out. Is it sold out?
No. Why do you think I'm here?
Oh, right. Prior to his run at the Soho Theatre in February.
Yeah, February the 20th to the 25th at the Soho Theatre.
5 nights, Soho Theatre, in the middle of the heart of London's booming Soho.
In theatre land,
where everyone great has played at the Soho Theatre.
Yes.
This is your fourth time.
Fourth time round.
Fifth or sixth, maybe, I think. But it's the show's called Scissor.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it starts on the
20th, Monday the 20th of February.
Let's say, like, I wanted to get tickets for it.
You'd go onto the Soho Theatre website.
And then I type in, what, Jimmy Carr? No, what do I type in?
Alfie Clown. But you have to misspell it, Brown.
Alfie Brown.
Yeah.
And then I just click buy tickets. And I assume if you want to see comedy as good as yours, because, I mean, you've done Edinburgh how many times now?
7.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
7 times. And you're a touring comic. You've played all over the world in the last year. I would imagine the tickets for that would probably set me back 40, 50 quid to see one of Britain's top leading up-and-coming comics, right?
Yeah.
How much tickets?
Oh, no. That's where you'd be wrong, Joshua. Because actually, they come in at a rather reasonable £10. That's the price of one and probably like another sort of 80% of a beer, isn't it?
Yeah. That couldn't even buy me 2 pints in central London in 2017. That's fantastic. £10 to see your stand-up.
Yeah, that's 1 hour working at the London Living Wage.
So you could work 2 hours and then go watch Alfie Brown do stand-up.
Yeah, and that's if you have like a job in Topshop or something.
But tickets are available now.
Tickets are available now, and you could...
We'll plug it again at the end.
Yeah.
We'll do it again at the end. Mm. Every week you can write to the show any problems that you might be having. A work-related problem, like...
Go to work and then... What are you doing?
Sorry, I fucked up.
Right. We need to make this up. Okay. You go to park and park in your boss's parking space. You go up to the water cooler. You're staring through the glass, he's making a horrible face. So you go into his office, He goes, mate, what's going on? Get out of my fucking space. He goes, there's a big cheese in town now. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You go out into the office, you start to lose your shit. You start to make a display in front of everyone else, including Sandra, who begins to be quite impressed with your alpha behaviour. But then you get fired. You don't get rehired.
Ooh.
You're in a bed sit.
You get fired.
You get fired.
You get fired. You don't get rehired.
You're fired.
You got fired. You don't get rehired.
You're fired.
You got fired.
You really fucked it.
You don't get rehired.
Fucked it up.
And go home and read your monthly subscription to the Gentleman's Magazine Wired.
There you go. Let's go.
Or maybe it's a relationship.
You can join in any
point. Feel free to join in.
I've heard you do that before, and I didn't want to. That was like seeing.
Magic.
That was seeing something like real happen. That was a real peek behind the wizard's cloak.
Maybe it was. Maybe it's a relationship problem. Like, what type of music would you like? What vibe?
I'd quite like
some soul.
Yeah.
Okay, ready? Okay, maybe it's a relationship problem, like...
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, oh. That's the tap.
Yeah.
That's the I don't have a drummer tap. That I learned back in the day when I didn't have a drummer.
Yeah, because you were the drummer.
Tapping on my guitar, give me time, because I don't have a drummer, yeah. And then sometimes they'll get to the middle bit of a song and they'll go, she said, darling, won't you help me? I'm falling apart. I'm just tapping on my guitar like it's a drum. I'm a white man with dreads tapping on my guitar. Too many white men with dreads tapping on their guitars. Just putting that out there. Yeah, maybe it's a relationship problem, like...
You go out on a Tinder date with a woman called Pauline. You show up, you order the lobster, it's all going really, really well. Then she confides in you that she's fascinated with the Incas and how they used to kill babies. She talks a lot about the...
You waited there, you were like... I'll wait till he gets to the end of the
round
until I carry on with my song.
So they keep talking about killing babies until it gets to a point where it's slightly disturbing. So you make your excuse and you go to the toilet. When you come back, she's in a fight with a waiter, trying to wrestle a lobster off him as she decapitates in front of the aghast audience that have assembled there. The maitre d' takes her by the scruff of the neck and throws her out of the restaurant. You go and follow her. You hail her a cab and go, do you know what? I think it's time we called it a night. She goes, no, I really want you to fuck me. Fuck me, fuck me. Come on. So you go back to her place because you're desperate and sad and you're living an existential life with no real prospects moving in any other direction. So you're back at her place and it's all inked out. It's like the crystal maze and like the, you know, with the pyramids and everything, and it's all very odd.
Her bed is on the top of... a little pyramid that she's made out of wood.
Then she tries to kill you in a sick, sadistic sex game. And you go, no, that's enough. I'm off.
And then you write in.
Yeah, you write in after that.
Or maybe it's a sex problem, like...
You just haven't had sex in a long while. It's tough.
EBP at excitableboypodcast.co.uk. Write in. Come sit on our digital knee and tell us your shit.
Can I read one?
If you want.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Here we go.
Alright. In love with my roommate's girlfriend. Dear EBP, I'm in love with my roommate's girlfriend. She is amazing. She's cool, funny, gorgeous, makes me laugh. She doesn't live with us, but we spent a lot of time together in the last month. Her roommate isn't a close friend, and to be honest, it's a bit of a bell end. I can't get her out of my head. She's all I think about. I've started waking up early in the morning so I can be in the kitchen at the same time as her before work. When I see her, my heart skips. I've started being in the bathroom at the same time, so when she gets in the shower, I'm there too. When I see her, my heart skips. I've never felt this way about anyone before. I'm not very experienced with women, and I feel like my feelings are wrong. What should I do?
Well, I think, first of all, you've got to be very careful about the fact that she's like 17 times more attractive because she's your roommate's girlfriend. That's first up.
That's what I think. Like,
there's nobody hotter in the world than your girlfriend's sister and mum. because they're the last people, and of all her friends, because they're the people that you mustn't fuck, so you absolutely want to fuck the most. So your roommate's girlfriend is, you know, there's such a heightened sense of fuckability there, because, but I mean, maybe that's kind of belittling your feelings slightly. Go for it.
It's just a roommate,
and also, like, you know, how, like, you're probably not that old. If you are over 30, why are you writing into a podcast?
Well, he says here that he's not got much experience with women, so I would maybe say maybe you don't love her. Maybe you're not that into her, you're just into the fact that there's like some intimacy. Right. You know what I mean? Like, so there's a woman in your house who is sometimes naked or in her underwear. And you see her with no makeup on, and then she makes her boyfriend dinner, and then she's like, oh, there's actually some paella left.
Right.
And like kind of like you're the dog under the table. She's throwing you the scraps. Right. And you're like, oh, I love you. You know? Like, I think maybe you're just into that. Like, you've found a type of intimacy that you're not used to.
You need to find a non-verbal way of seducing her. Like, you know.
Dance.
Send out a message. Like, you know, make a canoe. Make a canoe in the front room.
Make a canoe.
Start whittle things. Whittle things.
Isn't it whittling?
I don't know.
Whittling.
Is it whittling? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I've always had that
whistle
wrong.
Whistle is with the mouth.
Yeah.
Whittle is with the hands. Whittle is with the penis.
You could name your boat after her.
Yeah.
Because that's a great way of letting people know that you've got a boat.
Yeah.
Do you know what I would do? I would knock on her door, his door, at 3 in the morning, and pray that she opens, and just do that Love Actually scene with the cards.
Yeah. Right.
But just at the bedroom door.
In the canoe.
Yeah. So like, or you could try... Yeah.
What I find interesting about this email is that I feel like he says here, my roommate isn't a close friend, and to be honest, is a bit of a bellend.
Mm.
So what he's saying there is, he is a friend, because he's not a close friend.
Mm.
He's a friend. He's like painted the guy to be not very nice, to justify his infatuation.
Yeah, it's amazing how, like, not nice people get in your brain when you want to have sex with their girlfriend.
Right. Yeah.
What you need to do is you need to be quite underhand and kind of create, just kind of make him do things that aren't good. Like, get him to cheat on her. Look, and create
oh, a, that's brilliant.
Create
yeah.
a dossier of stuff. And just go, listen, I've got your back. I've got your back, come here. Then basically emotionally manipulate her to like you. And discredit a guy who's actually probably alright.
Yeah. I feel like we haven't been helpful to
that
person.
No, just start complaining about him whenever the girlfriend's around.
I hear poetry's good.
Yeah.
Write poetry and send it to her.
Yeah, love poems.
Yeah, do that.
All right, next letter. Did that help?
No.
Okay, the serious advice is that maybe you're not in love with her. You just you just like the intimacy of the fact that there is a woman in your house. And maybe you need to now to go out and find that love for yourself with someone else. Right? You've seen how great it can be. Maybe they have a lovely relationship and you think, wow, maybe...
But also, if you immerse yourself in sort of other people and try and fall in love elsewhere, if there are any reciprocal feelings that she has for you, they will be massively enlivened by the fact that you've started to talk about other people and date other people.
Yes. And if that doesn't fail, silk robe... dressing gown half open when she comes in.
Yeah, paisley dressing gown with an erection.
Yeah, with a pipe, but bubble pipe.
Yeah.
You know? Come in. Mm. Girl from Ipanema playing.
Dun, and dun,
oh, young, hi.
And a lump.
Oh, yeah, Tony's not from home yet, but come in.
That's, oh, mushy, that, oh, that's just my knob.
And then she oh, passes all school. She passes Can I read one yet?
Yeah
go on, dude.
Okay. Oh, it's not very long!
No.
Dear EPB, as the world melts under President Trump, I'd love to know your exit strategy when we finally go to war. Where will you hide? What will you do? How will you survive? Well, first up, Jesus fucking Christ. Kiribati is where I'd go. It's the point furthest away from any kind of mainland. It's the safest place to be during nuclear fallout. I know because I googled that.
Where is it?
Kiribati, I think, is somewhere in the kind of vast Indian Ocean.
Right. So
I actually don't know where Kiribati is. I'm about to look up where Kiribati is.
I don't think any of us will ever be successful enough to get access to the bunker.
I'd get one of those suits.
Do you know what I'm... Oh, one of those...
radiation
TM Lewin.
I get a radiation suit, yeah. Not that... We're failing the radiation suit, I'll get a TM Lewin suit.
Do you think your house is safe enough to just barricade up and you'd be okay?
What, to protect myself from radiation?
Can that come indoors?
Yeah, no, it stays at the doorstep. That's the way. That's glass? The way it works. No, it can't do that either.
Okay.
Yeah. It's easily containable.
So you'd buy a nuclear fallout suit?
Yeah.
Would you build an underground bunker?
No, I'll try and find, a silo. An old, disused missile silo.
Like Cloverfield.
Yeah.
10 Cloverfield Lane.
Just kind of have a nap.
Yeah.
Have a nap with some canned goods.
I'd just go to my mum's house. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd accept that it's game over.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with it, but I'd want to, like, hang out with my mum and eat canned food.
Also, who's going to bother doing Norwich?
Exactly. No one's going to bomb Norfolk. You know? It might be hard to get out of the city. That's what I'd be worried about.
Yeah, but I think by the time that you found out there was going to be a nuclear attack on London, you could pretty much walk it. As long as they're not dropping the Tsar bomb, if the Tsar bomb was dropped,
what's the Tsar bomb?
It's the biggest nuclear weapon I think in the world that's currently kind of usable.
Where is it?
It's in Russia somewhere.
Oh, they own it.
They have it.
Oh, Putin.
Mm. But I don't know who. If we do go to nuclear war, who are we going to go to war with? Because is it going to be America that we go to war with? Although it won't be Russia either, so it'll be China, but we've got good trade links with China as well, so...
Isn't it just going
to
be...
I think the nuclear war will happen just sort of across us. We'll be able to see the shit go over our head. It'll be like lying on your back and watching kind of a tennis match happen.
What will I do? Yeah, I will see my... I would see the final days out at my mum's house, because she's got loads of canned goods. And also, my mum doesn't... Like, if she wasn't home, or if she died in the house and I couldn't get in, she doesn't lock her garage. And there's lots of tin food in there. And a refrigerator. What are those refrigerators that are on their backs called? Like an Arctic refrigerator. What's that called?
Freezer.
No, like a freezer. Arctic freezer. Is that what it's called?
Sure.
There's a word for it.
Yeah.
She's got a big fucking freezer.
A very cold freezer.
Yeah, an ice coffee.
Deep freeze.
Yeah, but I turn that off and get in it and sleep in it because radiation can't get in fridges.
Right, yeah.
How do you know that?
Indiana Jones.
Okay.
So I'd hide in there and eat her canned food. Done.
Right.
How long are you going to do that for?
Till the radiation
wears off.
Takes me.
Yeah.
Or the cold winter takes me.
Because also, you probably couldn't live without vitamin D for that long. I mean, the actual vitamin, not the
sunshine. You mean?
Yeah. Not
outside.
Dick.
I'd go outside.
Yeah, but you couldn't because the nuclear winter would mean that there's no sunlight reaching the earth, so all crops and life would die.
Would fail.
Okay, well then I'd probably...
Ain't that a flat beer on a bad day?
Yeah, I'd probably just stay in my house then and just get angry until I died.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing now anyway.
Yeah.
What would you do? What was your answer?
Go to Kiribati. But I mean, I would try and survive somehow because I think my kids mean that I feel like they're owed some more life. Neither of them have even orgasmed yet or had ice cream. They've never had ice cream.
Never
or
had
orgasmed.
Ice cream.
2-year-olds never had ice cream.
Really?
No.
Because you're a vegan.
Well, no, he doesn't know what it tastes like. What's the point in going, here's...
A great thing,
that, but it's essentially poison. You don't have the wherewithal to kind of appreciate it yet.
Has he had McDonald's?
No, why would he have McDonald's?
Because sometimes you're just bored of the kid, and you're like... Just,
that's a good...
You know, like, when I think of the shit my mum fed me when I was a kid...
Yeah, that's because you're a cunt.
It was like...
It went straight to your heart.
It was just like, you know, a lot, because it was, you know, it was the age of, it was like pre-health, everyone had to be healthy.
Yeah.
So my mum, I was fed like my mum had had a bad day at work for the first 10 years of my life.
Yeah.
And then everyone, when I was 10, went, oh, no, we're just not eating vegetables and stuff like that. But, you know, she'd do Mauritian food, like from where she was from and stuff. But a lot of the time it was like, I've had a shit day and you're having potato waffles. Just beans, and that was it. And it was
sounds
great.
Delicious.
It was great. So I wonder if I was a parent, at what point you're just like, I don't want this kid to be aware that McDonald's exists, but also I just want to watch Netflix while he's quiet for 10 minutes.
Yeah, but there is a thing where like you just kind of go like, Margot will basically eat anything. She's a fat little fucker. Donnie is a lot harder to get to eat. But you do go with potato waffles. You just sort of go like, right, it's better that you have calories than no calories because you need to grow. So just fucking get whatever you will eat in your face.
So has he had potato waffles before?
Big time.
Fish fingers?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so he's getting cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Frozen peas?
Yeah.
Has he had a vol-au-vent?
No.
I haven't seen a vol-au-vent for a long time.
Right.
I think bring back the vol-au-vent.
How do you spell vol-au-vent?
V-O-L-A-U-V-E-N-T, I think, and the E's got one of those.
Oh, little, a vol-au-vent.
Little pizza
and it's got an accent.
It,
oh, okay.
Look at that.
Yeah. You know? Well done.
I think.
Then I spelt it the other day and then I lost confidence in my tweet because I didn't know how to spell vol-au-vent.
That was
so
good, man. That was wedding food, wasn't it?
I don't know, I very rarely go to weddings.
When I'd go to a wedding when I was a kid, there'd always be a buffet table with a vol-au-vent on it.
Yeah. Canapes.
Finger food. Yeah. Next letter.
Excitable boy, oh yeah. I think you should have that in between each letter. That's our advice to you. Excitable boy, oh yeah. Next letter.
Let's put it in here.
Okay, so tell me what to do, when to do it.
Thanks for your letter.
Excitable boy, oh yeah.
It's kind of minor key, I like it. Show's not over yet. That's what it says.
Next letter. Dear EBP, why is your show called Excitable Boy Podcast? You aren't very excitable.
Nice.
Ooh, who named the podcast, Joshua?
Yeah.
You did.
I did.
There we go.
I forgot about that.
Right, because I thought you'd named it.
No, I took credit for it.
You took credit for it, yeah.
Yeah, I named the podcast because Joshua was trying to think about what he was going to call the podcast.
Right.
And knowing him as I do,
know
that he's a big Warren Zevon fan.
Right.
So thought, what about naming it Excitable Boy after the Warren Zevon song of the same name?
And
he went, that's a really good idea, Alfie.
I will do
and
that.
And then he got all porno and shit and started spitting on it. And then you named the podcast that.
Yeah, there we go.
We called it Excitable Boy Podcast. It's also, I like the song as well. It's a really happy, up-tempo melody, very jaunty song about an absolute psychopath.
Mm.
And then it's also, but it's not about a psychopath, it's about how all his family think he's just an excitable boy.
Yeah.
So it's like, the lyrics of the song are, he goes for dinner, then he goes to cinema, and then he kills a girl and he digs up her body. And her family's like, oh, he's just an excitable boy. Mm. And I like that, that look.
Yeah.
You know? I like what that means. I think it's a great song by a great artist.
But I do think you're excitable. I would.
I often think that about myself.
I think you're not as excitable.
No.
But there has to be a dynamic between you two.
Right.
For the kind of thing to operate.
But I'm not excitable, but I could flip.
Yeah.
I could implode.
Like, Joshua seems more excitable, but
Superficially, if someone's going to climb a clock tower with a gun, it's going to be me.
It's definitely me.
Right, if I go all falling down.
Dear EBP, I'm a female musician in a band. I saw an article in the paper this week about the bands at Reading and Leeds Festival and how of the 47 musicians playing, only one of them is a woman.
Right.
I know there's a woman in your band, so I'd like to know what your opinion is on this and on women in music in general. When I saw you play at Shepherd's Empire,
you were okay.
You said something about how we need more women.
Right. Did you say that on stage?
In music. Yeah.
You said that on stage?
Yeah. Nice.
You've always been really, really consistent, actually, to be fair to you, about whenever it gets mentioned that Aisha's a woman or women in bands, you always are quite sort of always been quite strong on the fact that it's great for marketing purposes.
Very consistent.
Hang on, what do I think of that? Okay, so obviously there's so many men in bands and they need, I mean, I love the fact that our drummer is not only, she's not good for a girl, she's just, Aisha is truly, truly brilliant. She's an artist more than anyone I've ever met. Like, she can't not drum.
Yeah.
She has to drum.
Mm-hmm.
In order to survive. Like, if I see her and she's down, she'll be like, oh, I just haven't sat behind a drum kit for 3 days.
Mm.
You know? So I think on some level, this is just a theory, but I think on some level, I think every woman I've ever met who is a musician has started playing their instrument for purely artistic reasons. Does that make sense? Like, there's a burning inside them to pick up a drum kit or a guitar, whatever it is. They have to do it. And I think most guys start playing guitar to get laid. So I think when you look at the Reading and Leeds lineup and you're like, oh, there's only one woman in all these bands, it's like, yeah, that's because women are too smart to start a band. Like, women start playing music because they love it and they have to do it, whereas guys are like, oh, well, I'm not good at sports and girls don't like me, so I'll play guitar. I think that there's a huge, like, level of men playing musical instruments for that reason.
It is weird, isn't it? Because you can see more men in bands, but women as singer-songwriters, sort of... when women are musicians, they're more often singer-songwriters than not.
Well, I just think women are smarter... That women are too smart to go, hey, I know what I think I want to do with my life. Drive around the country playing in pubs forever. I think that's a great... I just think women are too smart to do that.
It sounds like you're complimenting women, but what you're actually doing is slagging off this girl who's in a band. Women are too smart, except you. You're an idiot.
Yeah. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I think that there's more logical reasons why there are less women in music.
I think, isn't it probably to do with sort of age-old gender roles?
Well, maybe, but I also think that when you look at, and I don't have it in front of me, but I reckon if we took the top 10 list of the biggest selling artists of every year for the last maybe 10 years, 20 years, whatever, I would say over 50% of them would be women, right?
Well, yeah, around
50%. Without thinking about it, I would say Beyonce, Rihanna, Taylor Swift, Adele, Florence and the Machine, like, are the biggest set. Like, they just sell millions and millions and millions of records. Yeah, I just think that there are less women because women are too smart to get into bands.
Gender roles is my take. That's my, I think it's also maybe there's a sort of sense. I mean, at least in rock music, I mean, could there be something kind of genetic predisposition to fury and anger that is and women are kind of famously more considered and pragmatic, which doesn't.
That even still feed into me saying that they're too smart to start a band?
Yeah.
That would be my answer, and that's the end of the show.
Okay.
Alfie Brown, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much. Was it okay?
It was really good.
Yeah?
I mean, if it gets deleted, I can't. That's a mechanical error, not human.
Okay. Not like.
Thank you so much for being here, and so I can't wait to see your show.
Mm. Which night are you coming?
I'm going to come on all 5 nights.
Right. Okay.
Right.
You came twice last time.
I did. I got an executive producer credit on your stand-up show.
Yeah? Yeah, yeah.
Which is amazing, because I didn't do anything. But thank you for that.
That's all right. And, that's right. Tim got a director credit.
Tim directed it.
I did.
Wow, this is the Team Brown. Oh my
God. The whole team behind the whole project, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I'll be there at the Soho Theatre February 20th. Till the
25th.
In the ballroom? I don't know.
Yeah.
Which room?
The ballroom with the lead pipe. Yeah. Just the Soho Theatre. It doesn't matter which room. They'll tell you which room to go into when you buy
a
ticket.
It's going to be great. I can't wait.
Yes, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here. I have to say, Kenneth did Independent Venue Week last week. So we did a little tour around all the amazing independent, not all of them, 4 of them, but there are lots of independent venues in this country, and we went and did some shows in Edinburgh and some other places, and it was all great, and I want to say thanks to all the staff and the teams and the crew and everyone that makes all the great independent venues in this country brilliant. And I think that if you're going to just go to a gig, literally open a copy of Time Out or whatever, however you kids are finding live music now, and just point at a thing and go, but let's go watch that, and just pay £5 and go to a little venue, go
swipe
to a
right.
live
swipe
yeah.
right
swipe to right it. To life, swipe right to music, and swipe right to the Excitable Boy podcast. Join us next week for more nothing. Alfie Brown, thanks so much.
Thanks
Tim, thanks for coming to my birthday party.
That's right,
here's the theme tune.